Today on Real Radio.
Isn't it interesting that in heaven we'll be very conscious of the fact that God created? And the Bible says in the book of Colossians, book of Hebrews as well, that Jesus Christ holds all of the material physical universe together. Did you know to this hour, no man knows what holds the universe together? They call it cosmic glue. Did you know that? Instead of using the name Jesus Christ, they use cosmic glue. His name's Jesus.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues leading us through the book of Revelation. Chapter 4 gives a description of what appears to be the throne room of Almighty God, and John uses terms like creatures and elders to describe those who are gathered around the throne, giving endless praise and doxology and credit for God creating all things. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called Heaven, a Preview of Things to Come.
And they come before the throne of God and they mean it. They don't go, okay, boop, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, you know, and they just sit down, they wait for the next shift change, you know, and up, beep, okay, holy, holy, holy Lord God. Are you kidding? These things do it before the Lord day and night. They recite it and they mean it. They mean every second of it. It leads me to say and to believe that they know something I don't know. And they've seen something I have not yet seen, but I will see. You have a loved one who's died believing in Jesus? This is what they're seeing right now. No wonder why they don't want to come back. This is what they're seeing. You know, if I ever drop dead, I tell you, a few moments ago, I had a pain in my back. It scared me. Did you notice I kind of paused? I thought, oh, Lord. Well, you know what? What if I died? What if I just died right here? And I'm down. You should stand up and just start praising the Lord. He's gone, he's gone. No, no. But you said, Lord, Lord, don't come running up to me and lay hands on me and say, Lord, raise him, bring him back. What if I came back? You know, oh, Jack, you got to go back. They're calling you. After seeing the glories and the seraphim before the throne and the wings and the faces and the 24 elders and all the glory of God, and I'm feeling really good too. And then I feel this sucking feeling on my back. And heaven begins to get smaller, and I'm going back, and the Lord says, you gotta go back, Jack. They want you back, and there are people praying, and I've heard their cry, and you gotta go back. You know, when I come to, I'm gonna slap you in the face for praying me back. Heaven is going to be beyond what you can imagine. And it's where we're going. It's exciting. We must worship. Third and final point, heaven, a preview of coming attractions found in verses 9 through 11. And that is what we're going to be doing there. And this, to me, is just absolutely the best. What we're going to be doing there, verses 9 and 10 tell us that we will enter into heavenly worship. Right now, we enter into earthly worship. Their heavenly worship. Whenever. Can you circle that word in your Bible? Lucky for you, I'm not going to spend much time on this word. It is spectacular. Whenever. Whenever. Whenever means spontaneously, unpredictably, worship explodes in heaven. And look, I hate to burst your bubble, but in heaven we read, it's loud. There's music, and people, God's people, are shouting in praise and worship and glory. There's at least 24 elders and four seraphim falling on their faces before the throne of God, saying, holy, 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 it is something whenever. How often is that? Whenever. Can't set a watch to it. It's whenever. Whenever. I love it. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, look what happens. Who lives forever and ever. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down. I want to see this. I'm going to see this. So here's the kind of a cool thing. I don't know. I'm thinking. The 24 elders, they're there. And all of a sudden, those living creatures with six wings each, what is that? They're like, they're doing their thing. And what's going to happen? Well, watch. They start, holy. I bet with that, the elders, oh, goosebumps. Oh, man. Holy. Yeah. Holy. Yes. Lord God Almighty. Amen. They might yell, you know. Something happens because as this thing begins to crescendo, what do? They fall on their faces. That's what's happening right now as we're sitting here. It's what's going on up there. They fall on their faces. When I was little growing up, we didn't have Starbucks. We had Pyrex coffee pots. People literally made their own coffee in those days. In ancient times, you would put coffee into the little hopper thing, you know, and it's all glass, it's completely transparent. And you would put it on the stove and it would heat up. And I would love to watch. I remember being like eye level, watching the blue flame hit that glass bottom, wondering, it's amazing, it doesn't break. And the little bubbles begin to form on the bottom of that glass. As the water begins to reach 212 degrees, it starts getting ready to boil. And they make an ascension up that little neck of that Pyrex glass. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Thank you. And it begins to make its way up. And you know what? Anybody remember what it used to sound like? It'd go, boop, boop. Remember? Boop, 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 boop. And it would start going, and it would come up, and then the boiling water would come down and rain down upon the coffee grinds, and it would begin to make coffee. The whole house would smell of coffee. So it's fantastic. That's in ancient times. Now, this is how I see this in heaven. The seraphim begin to enter into this worship. And it has almost a percolating experience where it begins to affect the inhabitants of heaven. When we worship the Lord, it will affect people. When we're out and about and we say, you know, praise God, he's so good to us. You know what happened this year or whatever? People are listening. And they'll try to act like they're not listening. They'll just turn away and let me, I guarantee you, you know, if you go to lunch today and you're sitting there, you say, you know, God is so good. People are going to act like they didn't hear a word you said. People sitting behind you, their table gets really quiet. And they're listening to you talk about the glory of God in your life. Some people come to know Jesus Christ out of sheer jealousy because they hear what you have and they want that. How does that happen? When you worship the Lord. You can worship the Lord in this service. You can worship him while you're working. You can worship him while you're eating. You can worship him at all times. It's how you live your life. Is it, as it were, a song, your life? Is it a moving, worshipful experience before the Lord? Did you see the sunrise this morning? Anybody happen to see that? Amen. What service? Oh, this is second service. I'm sorry. The sunrise this morning caused you to stop in your tracks. It just caused you to stop. And it was unusual because of the arrangement of the clouds. It was gone in about 60 seconds. It went, and then it was gone. Thanks, Lord. That was cool. I'm glad I got to see that. Just 60 seconds out of the whole day. And when you say, thanks, Lord, that's worship. I love it. We will enter into worship. Listen, not only that, we will honor the Lord with our earthly victories. This is important. We will honor the Lord with our earthly victories. How so? The 24 elders will cast their crowns before the throne. So will you. So will I. Remember those crowns we talked about? It's for this reason I want to say, Lord, I want you to work in my life such a way that you just load up the crown, God. Just load it up. Because when I get up there, I want to fall down and give you back all that you've given me too. Don't come to me this afternoon and say, you know, I'm much too spiritual to even want a crown. If you understand the fine print, you want a crown. It's not your crown, you silly person. You, it's not yours. You don't get to keep it. So don't act like you're going to walk around with it. You're going to give it back to him. That's why we want to do things spiritually with excellence. Amen. Why? Because we want to give it back to him when we get there. He's going to reward us. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, those are good things. Or wood, hay, or stubble, those are not so good things. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. That is, God's going to test our motives. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built upon, endures, he will receive a reward. God's going to reward us for what we've done in this lifetime in our bodies for Jesus. Question being, what are you and I doing for him? Not because we have to, but now because we get to. What God is going to do is he's going to give us rewards back. And we are going to appear before the throne of God. And when those seraphim take off and say, holy, holy, guess what you and I are going to do? We're going to hit the ground and cast our crowns before the throne of God in absolute worship and praise. And no one's going to be going, oh man, I want that back. Nope, you can't wait. Whenever. When's the next time they're going to do it? Whenever. Be ready. Whenever. I can't wait till they do it, because here goes my crown. I can't wait. We're going to give him all the honor because of our earthly victories. Christians, stay at it for him. You thinking about bailing out, or I've done these all these years and now I'm going to stop. Don't stop. Don't become weary at well-doing. God's going to bless you. For those of you who are Christians who are not involved, get involved. I'm afraid, you might say. I'm afraid to not get involved. Get involved. What if I make a mistake? You know what? You will. We all do. Isn't that something? We need to wake up as a church. I'm just talking to those of you who called this home. We need to wake up to God's reality and stop letting the world creep in and steal what is God's reality. You know, you look around at the world and the world is messed up and it's crept into the church. I hear things like this. You hear people talk about voting. Well, I don't know if I'm going to vote for the president. Well, how come? And they give their reason why. And I have come to conclude something. What is wrong with us? It's as though we're trying to find somebody to vote for who's the Messiah himself. Have we become so silly to think that politics is the answer? It's what God has put in place for this hour, for this time of our lives, and for the history of our nation. When you vote, you're not voting for the Savior of the world. We wait for the Savior of the world. Amen. There's a big difference. Well, I don't know. You know what? George Bush got drunk one time and, you know, whenever that was, in 83 or whatever. I can't vote for him. Well, who are you going to vote for? Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is perfect. And the governments of God here on this earth, he's installed. Whoever we vote for, they're going to make mistakes. Some more than others. But that has crept into, say, the church. Everybody looks to one another. Paul said, those who compare themselves among themselves, they're not very wise people, he said. You begin to look at one another. Well, you know what? What's he wearing? Oh, I guess I can wear that. What's she wearing? I guess I can wear that. What does he say? Oh, I guess I can say that. What does she say? Oh, I guess I can say that. As though we are the standard, one of another. That's not true. Who's the standard? Who are we supposed to look to? Who are we supposed to follow? It's all about the Lord. That's a serious thing. We need to have our eyes on Jesus, people. In a big way. And if you're looking to any earthly religious leader to be your hope, I feel bad for that leader, because you know what God will do to that leader, no matter how precious they might be? God will humble that guy right in front of your face, because your eyes are on him or her or them. And God will pull the rug right out from underneath their feet. They'll fall flat on their face, and you'll have to deal with the reality, worship God and him only. The more you and I worship the Lord, the less this world has influence on our lives. Amen. And it's a great way to live. We will give him complete acknowledgement. Look at the end of verse 10. One little word. It's a saying. Saying, you are worthy, O Lord, verse 11, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Isn't it interesting? Verse 11 is very significant to all of us. You want to know why? Because in heaven, all of those that are there are very conscious of the fact that creation is both biblical and of God. I think there's a reason why you need to be reminded of that. We are living in an hour when many scientists are bailing out on the evolutionary theory. I have personally listened to scientists who are not even Christians, and they do not even believe in God, say in a symposium, we cannot adhere to evolution, it's scientifically bankrupt and intellectually dishonest. Interesting. God has engineered all that there is. Granted, we live in a fallen world and animals eat one another and all that stuff. That's not what God designed. All that stuff came from man's rebellion. But let me ask you something. What would you rather have? For example, would you rather be strapped to a spaceship that has been engineered by a bunch of guys who believe in God and they're praying for you, and they, because they believe in God, they believe that God is the creator of mathematics and all that there is, huh? And so their efforts to their engineering was as excellent as possible because they believe that God wants the very best out of us, and they obeyed the laws of the universe that God has created. I would much rather get into a spaceship behind guys like that than to get into a spaceship when somebody says, well, I'm an evolutionist and I happen to work at NASA here, and this is what I think. I think we should just get our calculators, throw them up in the air, and however they land, you know, wires and parts hanging out of it, we'll just, you know, take this collective accident and see what good comes of it. And strap you to it and send you out into space. What do you think about that? Isn't it interesting? I've been to the manufacturing plant of Mercedes-Benz. You know those guys and gals that are hired there are genius engineers, and they hire the best of the best. You want to know why? Because they don't want any accidents at Mercedes-Benz. And the evolutionary theory is an accident. And they'll tell you, yes, it's true, it's an accident. Well, then why would I want to believe in some guy whose thinking is an accident? It's crazy. Everything that you point to and that you can consider has evidence of an engineer designer behind it. I don't care what or who it is. Could be your eyeball. It could be Jupiter. Hey, look at Mars. Did you see the newspaper today? We landed on Mars. And it's sending back pictures and all this stuff. We landed in this crater, this water valley, dried riverbed or dried lake bed that is the size of Connecticut. And we landed exactly where they wanted to land. And in about 4 weeks, Spirit is going to receive its little cousin, Opportunity. It's going to land. I feel really bad, though, kind of. The French, they were supposed to land on Christmas Day on Mars, and they lost their satellite. They can't even find the thing. And they've been trying to communicate with it since Christmas Day, and it's lost. And I understand that NASA's calling them up and saying, you want us to help you find your... You know, between nations, that's like a touchy thing. They're looking for signs of life. You got the gigantic radio telescopes broadcasting, we have been for years, out into space. Anyone out there looking for signs of life? I would love if God, you could hear the sound of a zipper. The guy's got his headphones on listening for intelligent life out there. They do it at 24 hours a day, you know? Beep, beep, beep. Can you imagine? And the black universe opens up and God's face comes through. Hey, I'm right here. Wouldn't that be great? Guy throws his earphones off. Isn't it interesting that in heaven we'll be very conscious of the fact that God created? And the Bible says in the book of Colossians, book of Hebrews as well, that Jesus Christ holds all of the material physical universe together. Did you know to this hour, no man knows what holds the universe together? They call it cosmic glue. Did you know that? Instead of using the name Jesus Christ, they use cosmic glue. His name's Jesus. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Heaven says there is, no matter what your opinion might be. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, being manifested to all those who he has created, so that they are before God without excuse. You will not stand before the throne of God and say, this can't be happening, I'm an evolutionist. God has revealed the truth of his existence in your life, in your head, and you know it. And then finally, he says in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to become wise or to be wise, they have become fools, for they have taken the glory of God and they have transferred or translated that glory of God into the worship of man, of flying birds, of four-footed animals, and the creeping of things. And God says, for this, I will give them up to their futile thinking. Why? Because the great engineer designer of your soul is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, whom we will worship in heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Heaven, A Preview of Things to Come. It's part of our teacher's study series through the book of Revelation here on Real Radio, which means that we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast, so be sure and join us once again. Well, are you concerned with what is going on in the Middle East? Well, you should, but of course Scripture warned us that this was going to happen. And so Pastor Jack recently gave an update on what's really going on in the Middle East, based on Pastor Jack's inside connections and God's written word. You need to be informed so that you can comment on the issue biblically and intelligently. You can hear the message online, or better yet, get a CD copy for yourself or a friend. Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update is yours for a donation of any amount to Real Radio. Visit www.realradioactive.org to donate. Everything is right there on the front page. Or if you prefer, call or write us. Just be sure and mention Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update. Our phone number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, if you missed any of that information, it can always be located easily on our website, www.realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.